Good afternoon, Bloomington. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLradio.com. The In the Zone program here on a Wednesday night live, One City Center. I'm Mike Glasgow alongside Terry Stoltz. T, good afternoon. How are you?
Glass, doing great. Fantastic Wednesday.
Absolutely right. Summer hanging on to its last dying moments, and it feels like it outside. So a gorgeous, gorgeous day today. Looking to shape up to be a gorgeous weekend as well. The last time we check in with you this week, before it all starts kicking off quite literally and figuratively. Better not use any more three-syllable words tonight. But we thank you for making time joining us wherever you may be and on WGCLradio.com. We have a busy program for you, as we always do on Wednesday nights, because we do take you into the weekend from here, and we've got plenty of action going on, and Reds baseball will follow us at 7 o'clock. The Reds threw away a 4-0 lead last night, went to extra innings with the Cardinals before falling short. St. Louis is trying to hold on for dear life, just like summertime in the National League Central, as they find themselves slipping. The Cubs are hot. They're not losing any games, so St. Louis is going to have to put some wins together, and plenty of them. But you felt their death knell was the sweep last weekend at Wrigley Field. You'll hear how it all works itself out. 7 o'clock, Marty Brenneman's pregame, the Reds and Cardinals, right here on WGCL, your exclusive home for Reds radio here in Monroe County. We have a busy weekend for you on the airwaves. Also, starting tomorrow night, we've got football, and it's NFL style. Thursday night NFL football, the Rams and San Francisco 49ers, 8 o'clock pregame. Westwood One handles all that for us. Friday night, we'll be on the north side looking for a conference win. Somebody's going to win, T, as North and Perry Meridian looking for that first conference Indiana win. We'll have all the action for you with Chalk Talk. Dave Novak will handle that with Coach Scott Bless at 6:30, and then we'll have the call for you, Dave and I, at 7 p.m. as North and Perry Meridian homecoming at Martin Memorial. Friday, Saturday is Penn State and Iowa, 7:30 pregame. That's a big one in the Big
Tasty.
Ten.
Tasty.
That should be a good one. Iowa always plays well at home. You know how good their defense is. Penn State's been scoring for fun. We'll take a look at all the Big Ten matchups coming up a little bit later in the program. And coming up a little bit later in the program as well, our thoughts on the Colts and Cleveland as the Browns come to town favored against Indianapolis. We'll get you all the injury news, updates, and everything else. Bob Lamy's pregame begins Sunday at noon. Kickoff just a minute or two past 1 o'clock from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. The only major storyline about that you probably already knew but just need to know again is Andrew Luck is not practicing this week. That's not good for this weekend, Terry, and I'm not sure if it's really good for next weekend in Seattle either. That's going to be Sunday night football a week from this Sunday. And, again, we'll get into the Colts' issues, and there's plenty of them. But are they correctable? Can we figure them out for one day? You can only win one game and lose one game each week, and I think that's the good news and the bad news for the Colts. And we'll see if we can put those chess pieces together, move the board around for them coming up again in the second part of tonight's program. And in just a few minutes, we'll check in with Zach Osterman, the beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. He's not a Georgia Southern fan, perhaps. You can't be a fan if you're a journalist, but he knows a little bit about the Eagles growing up in the Georgia area and some connections to the program. We'll have a little bit of fun with Zach, as we always do. We'll get his thoughts on the Hoosiers moving forward and what kind of opponent they're going to run into. And from what I've read so far, T, it doesn't look to be. Should be a day where Indiana should be able to work some kinks out if they had any during the bye week. It should give the Hoosiers a chance with Brandon Knight back on that offensive line to establish or try to move around the running game a little bit more. And then obviously the big question everybody wants to know is, how are the quarterbacks going to play? How are they going to share minutes? How are they going to figure all this out? Moving out through the rest of the season, I'm not even worried about the rest of the season. Let's get to Saturday first and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's just, let's play a game. I mean, they were excited, happy over a victory on the road at Virginia. They're ready to go home and play a Florida International team that's really usually not a bad team, D1. They've given some opponents great games. We don't get to play, unfortunately. Hurricane stops that. So now it's kind of like, and then you're playing a team that does it, the triple option, plays stuff like, you know, like Navy and like Georgia Tech, people that run an old style that you're only going to see in maybe a handful of teams in D1. And that's going to be tough. And we've had a week off. I don't care how much you practice it. that's a different type of animal. I'm interested to see how our defense stacks up and how well we stop it. And as you mentioned, and we talked on Monday, Brandon Knight coming back, if they don't try to run the ball down these guys' throats and get that line polished up a little bit, I'll be very surprised.
I agree with you completely on that. We talked to Jonathan Crawford at Media Day on Tuesday, and he said, yeah, we enjoyed the extra week because all our focus is this week is, like we just talked about, you're going to win one game at a time. Their only focus this week is on Georgia Southern, and we heard them, they put in a little bit of this defense to face this in the spring when they had some extra time, a little bit in fall camp as well. But with the extra week of preparation, Terry, everybody should be on their assignments. A little assignment football there. Make sure the pitch man's covered. Make sure somebody's on the quarterback. And the good news for Indiana's defense is they have a bunch of athletic guys. They've had the most talent I think they've had on that side of the ball in some time. And getting around, flying around, running around, that's not going to be the problem. It's going to be, are you doing your job? And Indiana's defense really hasn't been the somewhat of the issue. And not to say the offense has either, but with this different attack on offense, it will give you some headaches because, like you mentioned, you can't replicate it perfectly. I would guess that we've heard before that Nick Tronte, who seems to be the scout team player of the week every week on offense, ran a little bit of this in high school, so that maybe will help them out because from all reports and everything else, everybody likes what they see out of him in camp, and maybe that'll help Indiana's defense. But I think it's about Indiana's offense where the most questions lie. I don't think it's been the defense where you're wondering, hey, how's the secondary? Who's line? Those guys have been playing fine. The defensive rotation up front has seemed to work out pretty well. Virginia didn't run this team over. And the option that come with the option, that's going to test a different set of skills. Exactly like you mentioned, it's going to test a little bit of gap responsibility and discipline and things like that. And it's a one-week test, and that's what I think everybody has to remember. And, T, I wouldn't be surprised if a play was broken here or there because it's just that difficult to stop. But I think overall, Indiana's offense should be the turning point in this game. They should minimize the hope for the Georgia Southern Eagles by – hopefully moving the ball down the field through the run, through the pass. And who's going to handle those duties? Well, that's a great question. We're going to find that out on Saturday, but I think we already know the answer, and the answer is going to be both of them.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt they're both going to play. They're both. I would assume they were both going to play well. While having an extra week to prepare for your weakest opponent on your schedule.
It's unlucky.
Up until Charleston Southern walks in. It is unlucky. I'd much rather have seen Virginia win. Florida International win at home, then go to Georgia Southern, get a win, have three in a row going into Penn State because Penn State's for real, and it'll be our second Big Ten game. We've played Penn State well the last several years, but that's not the case. Let's go in. Let's take care of Georgia Southern. Do the best job we can. Yeah, they're going to break some runs. Or he's going to make a fake pitch, pop back, and hit somebody for a long pass. It's going
to
happen.
Add some wrinkles to it. Their offense has really struggled lately, and that's been the case against New Hampshire. Was better. Of course, it's going to be better than Auburn. Auburn has one of the best defenses in the country annually. So does Indiana. Indiana's trending in that direction as well. So I think with Indiana's speed, with Indiana's technical abilities with the way they scheme, I think obviously they're going to give Georgia Southern some problems. But we'll see what our buddy Zach Osterman thinks. We'll ask him about the quarterback situation and there's not going to be an answer. I don't think their answer to this question is going to be there after Saturday's game. Maybe down the road, I'm not sure. So we'll check in with him and see what he thinks. He'll be giving us a call here any minute, and we'll talk to Zach Osterman from the Indy Star when we come back. Don't forget, we've got high school football for you on Friday night, Colts football for you on Sunday, so plenty of football action. Plus all the San Francisco Rams on Thursday and college football. Those Penn State Nittany Lions right here on the airwaves, Terry, Saturday night, so we can do a little homework before the Hoosiers head to Happy Valley or Beaver Stadium or whatever. I think it has like 43 nicknames.
At least.
We'll get it called. We know the Hoosiers are going to win on Saturday. It's just a question of how they're going to do it, and we'll try to put those pieces together as well when we come back. 6:16, that's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone. It's WGCL. All right, here we go. 619 at WGCL. In the Zone, I'm Glass. That's Terry. Wednesday night, September 20th, Reds baseball follows us. Marty Brenneman's pregame, 7 o'clock with the Reds at the top of the hour. Busy weekend here in Bloomington after a weekend off. Indiana welcomes in Georgia Southern. The Eagles fly into town for the Hoosiers' third game here, geez, in late September, and that's what happens when you sneak the accidental bye week in. And to help us sort out what's happening with Hoosier football is our good friend and beat writer for the Indianapolis Star, Zach Osterman. Zach, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How about y'all?
We're rolling. Oh, good. Y'all, did you hear that, Terry? That's Southern.
You know,
we
know he's from down there.
And that's why he's on the air today.
And, you know, the Super Bowl almost killed him. And but it's a new year. The Falcons are flying high. ATL is hot again. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Well, we appreciate it.
No, thanks. Always happy to talk Georgia Southern football.
Exactly. We're not going to talk about the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium or the Falcons beatdown of Green Bay this program, but we are going to talk Hoosier football, and obviously the thought of on everybody's mind is moving forward after the bye week, Indiana's momentum after a really solid performance with a we'll say a new quarterback, because that's essentially what happened. Peyton Ramsey, we had great special teams performances as well that week. Does the week off there hurt them at all, or does it help them because they're scheming and taking time to figure out more things at quarterback and have this triple option shotgun deal to work on defense?
Well, I think probably in a general sense, most coaches would tell you they'd prefer to have their bye week about when Indiana had it scheduled, which was the first weekend of October. That's, you know, a nice midpoint of the season. You know, physically, mentally, emotionally, you can sort of divvy things up, and it's a better time to maybe, as you talk about getting guys healthy, you're able to maybe get a little bit deeper into the season and give them some rest. But, you know, nonetheless, I don't think Indiana, I mean, what's Indiana, something like a 3-touchdown favorite this weekend. I don't think you're worried too much about loss of momentum. There's every reason to believe you can get it back. And as you point out, having extra time to prepare for an option offense is never a bad thing. You know, you hear from ACC coaches talking about getting ready for Georgia Tech. You know, one of the things they hate most is when they got to play Georgia Tech on a Thursday night because they get the short week. Having that extra week certainly should help. At least in theory, Indiana get ready for the triple option Georgia Southern can bring you down.
Indiana's problem recently hasn't been defense. It has been maybe moving the ball as well as they'd like. We saw signs of that maybe changing against Virginia, and it came from really two players that, heading into that week, Zach, nobody probably thought were going to be the headliners, with redshirt freshman Peyton Ramsey under center and Morgan Ellison, freshman tailback, getting the carries there later in the game.
Yeah, well, you know, and maybe we should have seen Ramsey come in a little bit more. I mean, it's pretty clear that the plan coming into the season was to play Ramsey. You know, maybe not entire games, but that Indiana was going to build packages out for him, was going to give him some looks behind center. We saw him a little bit against Ohio State. And more or less, I think what the staff said, you know, with their call to leave him in the Virginia game was, guy's got a hot hand, we're going to stick with it. You know, we're not going to let it just be determined by seniority or anything like that. I don't think that means that Peyton Ramsey has taken Richard Lego's job. I just think it means that, you know, the staff is prepared to give Peyton Ramsey opportunities, and when he makes the most of them, they'll give him more. So Ellison, I think, is still coming along. I mean, I certainly wouldn't anoint him, you know, RB1 at this point or anything like that, but I know the staff has been really pleased with maybe how advanced he is for a player of his age and experience. You talk to people in Ohio, when he was coming out of high school, he had some injury issues, and they always felt that it was broken bones. So it wasn't like a knee or something that could recur really easily. And I know people who I trust in Ohio who felt he really could have been a higher level Big Ten prospect if he hadn't had the injury issues. So maybe Indiana stumbled into a little bit of hidden talent there. Certainly early returns are very good.
Zach Osterman's our guest this afternoon. He checks in from the Indy Star. At Zach Osterman on Twitter, you can find all of his work. And back to the quarterback situation, because I think that's on everybody's mind. Lego's going to get the start. We saw last game, it doesn't really matter who starts, it matters who finishes. And we've already seen really two different Richard Legos. I know the second Second sample wasn't as great as the first, but he did throw for 410 yards. He did throw it 65 times and complete 40 of them against Ohio State, who's a pretty good defensive outfit. And then we saw 3 for 10 with the pick and 24 yards against Virginia. That's kind of been the issue, hasn't it, over the last year and two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And yet at the same time, in defense of Richard Leggo, I think you can also put some other issues out there. You know, when Indiana's, I think he's been more successful when Indiana's had a better run game. I think he's been more successful when Indiana's excelled along the offensive line. And those aren't surprising things. Those are things that go hand in hand with any quarterback's performance. But again, I think what it really says is the staff still has a lot of confidence in Leggo. It's not like Tom Allen came out and threw the quarterback battle wide open just because Peyton Ramsey had a nice three quarters against Virginia. But on the other hand, you know, if you're looking for maybe some quote-unquote messages for Rich Leggo, one of them that he's got to get loud and clear is Peyton Ramsey, if he's given those opportunities consistently, is probably going to take advantage of some of them. So it's got to keep Richard Leggo a little bit sharper. I think that was good for him last year with Vander Diamant, and I think it'll be good for him this year with Peyton Ramsey.
And when those two battle it out, whether it's in practice or obviously the competition in the games, the company line has been, hey, look, we don't care who gets the individual credit. We just care about winning football games. And with Georgia Southern in town, and obviously, as you mentioned, being such a heavy favorite, do you think they've got a clearer plan to split this up? Hey, you're going to play this quarter and you're going to play that quarter? Or because you think whoever's going to start and play is going to have some success?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a plan, personally. I beyond simply saying I would be surprised if Indiana didn't play both of them at least a little bit on Saturday. I do kind of, given what we've seen, and it's such a small sample size between kind of a heavy loss to Ohio State and a heavy win at Virginia, but given what we've seen, I do kind of take this staff at its word when it says that a lot of this is on feel and a lot of this is on, you know, just more or less sort of saying who's really got a nice command, the offense right now, who's opening up more pages of the offensive game plan, who's giving the opposing defense more to think about, more problems. You know, if Richard Leggo comes out and scores touchdowns on his first three drives against Georgia Southern, I don't think you're going to see Indiana staff say, okay, Rich, you know, now it's Peyton's turn to get his quarter. You know, Peyton's going to get, we told Peyton to get the second quarter, so he's going to get it. I think they stick with Rich Leggo by and large. And I, you know, that sounds a little funky, and it's not really like any 2QB system that I've ever seen before, at least that worked. But I think that is kind of where Indiana's going to be for a little while.
If this gets totally out of hand Saturday, Zach, would a third quarterback see the field? I know the third one's probably a freshman. He doesn't want to play.
Yeah, I'd be. I think. I mean, third QB is Nick Tronte, and I think he is the break glass in case of emergency QB. They're going to do everything they can to redshirt him.
He's in bubble wrap on the sideline. It's interesting.
As he should be.
When you see him over there. Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. He checks in this afternoon from the Indy Star. The Georgia Southern Eagles have had some success in the lower division. They have moved on up here in the last few years, and obviously playing Auburn in week one with a brand new quarterback is not going to help anybody get anywhere closer to where they need to be. Week number two, they have to move out of their home because of potential Hurricane Irma and play over in Birmingham. That didn't seem to work out better, but they did show some signs of life against an FCS school, but still lost the ball game. Should Indiana fans be this confident?
Yeah, I mean, this is a Georgia Southern team that's averaging 200 yards a game, and has allowed something like 550 rushing yards through two games. They lost to New Hampshire, which is obviously not a good look. I mean, you know, Georgia Southern kind of, like the comparison I used earlier today, is they're a little bit, you talk about their success at the FCS level, what we used to call 1AA, they have six national championships at that level. My parents went to Georgia Southern, so I actually grew up watching Georgia Southern football. They moved up, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago and actually had a lot of initial success, won the Sun Belt, won a bowl game, then had a coaching change. Willie Fritz moved up to Tulane, and I think they've been kind of struggling to find their footing a little bit since. What really concerns me, if I'm Georgia Southern, and I'll admit that I have not watched them closely this year, but I'm just looking at them statistically. They've lost over 100 yards. And that's just strange to me because – and they run a triple option out of a shotgun, like just to for people who may
which
have
sounds
a,
strange to me.
A mental – well, it, essentially what it is, you've got the quarterback, you've got the running back, and then you've got and different coaches call it different things, a slot receiver, an H-back, whatever – but there will be a third player that usually lines up somewhere at either receiver or kind of it's like an offset tight end, and that's their third option. Maybe they come in motion. Maybe the play sweeps to their side. It can go a lot of different ways, but it's not the triple option that you think of when you think of Paul Johnson at Georgia, who was at Georgia Southern, then at Navy, now at Georgia Tech. But one of the advantages of an option offense is that it's nearly always moving forward. It shouldn't be losing a lot of yards. It may not be gaining a ton of them, but it shouldn't be losing a lot of them. And if you're losing 100 yards, if you're losing 52 yards a game, which is what Georgia Southern's averaging right now, I mean, that's concerning. And when you've allowed five sacks through just two games, that's concerning. I mean, this is an offense that clearly just has not found its feet at all through two games this season. And there's no shame in that against Auburn. Auburn is a very good defensive football team. But when that's happening against FCS-level competition, then there's probably reason to be concerned. Now you're facing an Indiana team that, as you referenced, has been very good on defense the last year plus and has also had an extra week to prepare. I mean, I think Indiana fans should feel pretty comfortable. I'm not saying it's 52-0 at the end of the third quarter. Please don't misunderstand. But I do like this matchup for IU.
Sounds like when you lose that many yards, your line is struggling to block, getting people moving forward in the option, or it's being blown up by the other side. Does Indiana possess that quality on defense to get into that backfield and force them to lose yards or push the pile the wrong direction?
I think they can. I mean, it's a lot of that's going to be about how prepared your defensive linemen are. One of the surest ways to get to an option offense is to get penetration, because that creates doubt. I mean, the whole point of an option offense is to create doubt in the minds of defensive players. But if you can get quick penetration into the backfield on the snap of the ball, defensive tackle, defensive ends, maybe blitzing the occasional linebacker, then you're going to be creating real sort of confusion or apprehension in the mind of the quarterback, who's got to make these decisions very quickly. Does he hand the ball off to his fullback? Does he keep it? Does he pitch it? If you're kind of constantly getting in his face and he's not allowed to sort of set that option sort of sequence, if you will, be back, pitch, option, or he keeps it, then you're going to have a lot of success, frankly. And I think Indiana's strength in its offensive line or defensive line, excuse me, is probably more in its depth. You know, we've talked before about how this is a team that doesn't really seem to have like a standout pass rusher, but that's not really what you're looking for against an option offense. What you're looking for more against an option offense is good, stout tackles and like disciplinedly sound ends. And I think Indiana's got that. And again, with the extra week especially, I think Indiana, I would be surprised if Indiana wasn't, you know, well prepared for this.
Zach Osterman, our guest, checking in from the Indianapolis Star this afternoon. The Hoosiers can see on paper that Georgia Southern has scored one offensive touchdown. This can't be a game they overlook, because I think the talent level, it's there. This should be taken care of. Looking ahead to the schedule, though, a completely different test coming up with Penn State. What are we going to learn from Penn State, Iowa, in Iowa City on Saturday night?
Well, I mean, to be honest, having watched a decent bit of Penn State and been very impressed, having not watched a lot of Iowa, I'm not sure. I do think that, I mean, you talk about programs that are typically known for their sort of defensive solidity in the Big Ten. Iowa is absolutely one of those. But I think what you really look at is, how does another Big Ten defense attack a team with so many weapons? And Penn State's got weapons. I mean, they've obviously got a fantastic quarterback, fantastic running back. They've also got weapons at tight end, at wide receiver. That they are a creative offense. They are a clever offense. You know, that they're not just an offense that relies on talent. They're very well coached and schemed. How do you watch maybe another Big Ten program attack that? Maybe you study a little bit of what Pitt did with Pat Narduzzi, although you know, I don't think that game went, I forget the final scores, but I don't think that game went particularly well for Pitt either. So I don't have a great answer to that, frankly, because I think it's possible Penn State's the best team in the Big Ten this year. They are certainly one of the best offensive teams in the country. And, you know, it is very much kind of one of those where you might have to pick your poison as to where you go, where you start with that team. You got to pick something, you know, but that doesn't mean that you're going to – that doesn't mean there's a right place to attack a Penn State's offense right now. There might just be the best place of a number of really iffy options.
Well, that's if you're a top five team, as we saw with Ohio State, you've got to cover all the bases and cover all the pieces, and it's life isn't easy in the Big Ten East, and I don't think anybody's making it out to be. We'll have Penn State, Iowa right here on the airwaves Saturday night, pregame at 7:30. We will see you Saturday at Memorial Stadium as the Hoosiers take on Georgia Southern, 3:30 kickoff time there. Thanks for your time, my friend. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zach.
See you soon, my man. Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, at Zach Osterman. You can find all the stuff that he throws on the internet and the newspaper as well. And we thank Zach for his time. Always good to take a good look at that. So we're good. We had a good wrangle on this. We thought that Georgia Southern's going to struggle. Indiana needs to make them struggle, Terry. I don't think this is a game where they figure it out and we all of a sudden don't figure it out or go backwards. I haven't seen that on defense. The only thing that keeps bad teams around is usually what?
Well, turnovers.
There you go. And penalties.
And penalties,
wiping out big plays where they get another chance to stop you, or we have another chance to throw an incompletion or whatever it's going to be. So the Hoosiers off a bye week. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little rust in there to get things started.
Yeah, there will be. I mean, but victory favors a team that makes the fewest mistakes.
Exactly right. And the Hoosiers have multiple weapons at multiple positions. That's what makes it exciting. And obviously we saw at Virginia as well. The kicking game is in good hands. The return game is in good hands as well. And when you play in all three facets, it should be a very lovely day. 89 degrees for a high on Saturday. So make sure you take that into consideration when you are making sure your pregame is on the up and up. Hydrate.
You know it's hot.
Hydrate.
When the birds are playing in the Taco Bell weather puddle.
There you go.
Which they were a minute ago, so you know it's hot. They're down there bathing. So
we don't close
enjoy.
That pool till Halloween. We keep that open as late as possible. 6:37 here at WGCL. That's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone here on a Wednesday night. We'll come back and talk Colts football. How much fun is that? It's like sitting in the dentist chair. But the Browns are in town, yet they're favored. Surely there has to be some positivity we can find to tell you why the Colts are going to get their first win of the season and why they're going to do it. Noon here on Sunday, Bob Lamy's pregame will get us started. 1 o'clock kickoff from the Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll handle all that next. He's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone. It's Wednesday night on WGCL. It's 6:40 on a Wednesday night. You're in the zone with Terry and Glass.
Yes, sir.
News Talk 96.1 AM 1370, WGCLRadio.com. Gorgeous final days of summer, but that means there's plenty of football happening. We've got you covered. Reds baseball is tonight because it's Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Marty Brenneman. Tomorrow night, Thursday night football, the Rams in San Francisco. The Colts will play San Francisco later in the year. They've already lost to the Rams. Friday night, homecoming at North as Perry Meridian comes to town. Somebody will leave with their first conference win of the season, and we hope it's the maroon and gold of Scott Bless. Chalk Talk at 6:30, the kick at 7 p.m. on Friday night. Penn State, Iowa, 7:30 pregame Saturday night. And Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, the Cleveland Browns and Indianapolis Colts getting together week three of the NFL. The Colts 0-2 for the fourth year in a row. You know that. The Browns seem to be always 0-2, Terry, but somehow they are favored in Indianapolis coming up on Sunday. Bob Lamy's pregame is at noon. Here's what you need to know. Andrew Luck is not practicing this week. So that means, let's see, would you send him to Seattle on Sunday Night Football after a week of practice next week?
No.
Okay, so I'm guessing he's out that week as well. So a minimum. And if he doesn't practice next week, is he going to play the week after that? Remember, Jim Mercer told us back in after shoulder surgery he'd be ready to go for the beginning of the season. So we're already a month behind. Who do you believe in this? But all it's simple. He's not at he's not practicing at practice. So your Andrew Luck is luckless. Not good. Not
well,
good
I believe
at all.
The week after that is – the 49ers either back here or there. Now, that could be.
That's at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Okay.
But he has to practice. He can't just go in for 1 week. So if he's practicing next week.
Practice the week after Seattle.
Well, he has to practice the week of Seattle to play the next week. That's the key to all this. So if he just start practicing. How about that?
Well, throw the football. I got two positives. I was right, trying to come up with a top 10 like Letterman, but I can't quite get there.
Well, that's
number one.
Not surprising.
We are now only getting 1 point.
Well, there you go.
So instead of 2.5, we're getting one. So, but it's positive.
It is.
Number two. Jacoby Brissett will have another full week of practice as our starter.
Taking all the snaps, no doubt about that. And after the last pass he threw last week, yeah, I hope he's taking some film session to go along with that as well.
I got another. Number three.
Oh, we're up to three?
It is the Cleveland Browns we're playing. And it is at the Luke.
Cleveland had 4 turnovers last week. The Colts did not have that many turnovers. Their one turnover was bad enough, but the Browns falling last week. DeShone Kizer, young quarterback there, he hasn't played many snaps. Second-round draft pick. He has 4 picks on the season. Young Colts secondary. Can Cleveland run the ball? Colts defense is doing okay against the run.
Yes.
Well, when you give up 300 yards passing in 2 games, and you want to tell me the run defense is good. Well, that's fine, but you're still giving up plenty of points to the Rams and Jared Goff, and again, big plays late to Carson Palmer and the Cardinals, but it is the Browns. I think that's part of it. Ryan Kelly is practicing, maybe. He's off the boot. That's a good problem to have, but it doesn't help you today. Who else? That's it. What are we looking for? The Colts have to figure out a way to do 2 things. They have to run the ball more consistently. Brissett had an 11-yard run. Gore had an 11-yard run and a 14-yard run. They had 79 yards. So you don't back those out because they count. They were already 29 for 79. So you take those 3 out, and you can't sit here and tell me this line's doing a good job run blocking, this line's doing a good job pass blocking. Brissett gives him some extra time in the pocket. Maybe Tolzien doesn't. But what I want to see and have to see from Brissett this week, the ball has to go down the field, or T.Y. Hilton, it's just a guy that's not going to help you. Dante Moncrief as well, we saw him catching a crossing route. That's maybe not his style. You have to find the offense. It's going to expand. We know that. How confident is Brissett going to be? Is he going to have enough time to make those throws?
Yeah, he's going to. Hopefully he will. And as we talked Monday, I mean, you know, if I were Cleveland, I'd make him beat us. I'd load the box. I'd play our receivers one-on-one and, you know, blitz up the middle, watch for the runs, hold that down, and we'll say, hey, Jacoby, what do you got for us in week 2? Because we don't think you can beat us. That's what's going to happen. And if the Colts cannot put the ball down the field a little bit, and I'm, you know, I'm not talking these 10-yard slants that they were running last week.
Which are fine. If you want to throw it to Jack Doyle all the time, that's fine. I don't think anybody has a problem
with
that.
We'll give it to Doyle.
But you don't think they've watched any film on Doyle, do you?
Oh, yeah. I bet you have. I'm talking post, skinny post to Mr. Hilton. Mr., I won't have to talk. I'll get mine, whatever he said the other day. He's such a moron.
No way we're losing this game. No way we're losing 3 in a row. All right, make some plays.
Good. Run down the field, throwing the ball. The thing is, Glass, if the Colts can hit on just a couple of downfield passes, the Browns have to back off. Then we can play action, pass, and throw. We can run the ball. We can attempt to run the ball.
Right.
And have a little bit more room.
But they have to. I mean, you have to find – Frank Gore has to find a way to get carries. Frank Gore has to catch the ball out of the backfield because that's, again, that's the life preserver. If Brissett is under pressure or it's quick and you have to get rid of it, he has to make those plays. And everybody has to make plays. The line has to block better. We know that. Costanzo had a tough week. Haig had a tough week. We saw that. Everybody that watched the game saw when the going got tough. They had some problems with it. Cleveland's defensive front is decent. The good news for Colts fans, number one pick Myles Garrett and linebacker Jamie Collins did not practice today. Collins has a concussion, so who knows where the protocol takes him on that. Remember, they got him from the Patriots last year. And Garrett, the number one overall pick defensive end from Texas A&M, guess who he's going to line up against? Well, he's going to line up across from Anthony Costanzo, I would suggest, if he's healthy and ready to go. But he has an ankle issue, so we'll keep an eye on those. Jabril Peppers, another young kid from Michigan, is their return guy at safety. Malik Hooker went 15 picks before he did, or 11 picks before he did. So you have some younger playmakers. That's what the Browns whole team is young because They've stunk for so long.
So high all the time. And, hey, Colts receivers, when Brissett actually hits you in the hands, catch it.
The ball. You have to. It's a team game, and you have to do all that. The Colts cannot let DeShone Kizer get loose either. There are, again, those are problems. And he's, just, again, the second-round pick. He's played two NFL games. That's why I'm confused. The Colts do have professionals on their team. They're not guys perhaps learning on the fly. They are in the secondary, sadly, but so is their quarterback. So this is not Carson Palmer going to carve you up. DeShone Kizer is a nice player. I don't know if he fits in the Goff category. I don't know if he doesn't fit in the Carson Palmer category. That's for sure. So the Colts will have their hands full. We'll talk more about what we expect from the Horseshoes. Any good luck? Perhaps they'll have to create some of their own. They're at home. That should help things out as well. Usually has a sway in the NFL. We'll see how their fans stick around and hang with them as well. But you have to give people something to cheer for, Terry, or you know they're not going to show up. Make plays. You get big bucks. Make plays. That's what you do in the league where you play for pay. Don't forget that. 6:48, one final break. We're back with our Colts predictions and a look at Sunday's football as well. It's Terry and Glass in the Zone on a Wednesday night. .651 downtown WGCL. You're in the Zone with Terry and Glass here on a Wednesday night, getting ready for the big weekend. Plenty of football to talk about. Colts going to finally break this hoodoo. They're going to find a way out of jail. It's the Browns. Kevin Hogan's the backup quarterback. They scored 10 points last week, 18 points in week one. What am I missing here? Why can't the Colts win this game? Are they that bad?
They're going to win.
All right, well, that's good.
I'm going to tell you, Colts 21-17 over the Browns is my prediction.
How many defensive touchdowns in this game are we going to see? One or two?
I guarantee you that the Colts may get one. Probably an interception. Hooker, interception back for a touchdown.
A little sack fumble action. There'd be nothing, nothing wrong with any of that. The Colts offense will expand this week. There's no doubt about it. And the more Brissett gets comfortable, fine. He's going to get a chance. They've seen what Tolzien can do. You saw last week when even when it slowed down for Brissett, they didn't go to Tolzien. They had the lead. They thought that it was good enough. The big drive that we talked about on Monday when you run, 12 plays, 16 plays, 8 or 9 minutes. That's exactly what you want to do in that situation. But you can't have it end the way it did. You can't have a false start penalty. You can't have a doink off a face mask. You can't have special teams issues. Those are fixable problems. What isn't fixable are talent problems. The Colts aren't holding guys back that should be playing, is my point. This has been open season for the last month and a half in Colts camp. Everybody at some point has been hurt at some position. All these jobs have been up for grabs. There's a reason there's an undrafted free agent starting at center. There's a reason there's an undrafted guy starting at left guard, because nobody could beat them out. So when you say, boy, the line stinks, let's fix the line, where are you going to fix it? There are no offensive linemen. There never are this time of year. You can bring guys in off the street. You know what that means? Well, they didn't make it somewhere else.
They're not going to be any better for the Colts, no.
The only redeeming quality about the Colts that I guess you can throw in there is their defensive line, I think, has been solid. You haven't seen teams run through them like a goose. It hasn't been that way. The linebacking play, especially with Simon, has been
excellent.
Solid. As you can ask, Antonio Morrison will be back this week, so they will have some depth, some bodies to rotate in. Hankins has done his job. Woods has done his job. Harry Anderson has been pesky. Jabal Sheard has been playing good enough. I don't think you look at those guys and say, well, we're disappointed. We brought them in for all this money. They are disturbing things. It was not easy for Carson Palmer. Remember, his big play came with Sheard essentially right in his face. Now,
he
still completed it for 3rd and 20. Well, there's other angles to that. Is Wilson going to get better? Sure. Is Hooker going to get better? Right. Is Harrison going to get better? All those young corners are. Rashad Melvin had a great game. We talked about that on Monday. Wouldn't it be nice to have Vontae Davis back? The good news is he's practicing this week, so we'll see if this is the week or you save him for one more week against Seattle. But at some point, Terry, 0-3, as T.Y. Hilton said, so can't do it, can't happen. He's exactly right.
Yes, he is right. It better not happen because I guarantee you they're going to go up to Seattle and not win that game. Even though Seattle can't score, I guarantee you they're not going to do much against that defense, which is still outstanding. So need to win, need to get a win against Cleveland. hopefully competitive game at Seattle. You and Dave will talk about that. And then come home and hopefully get the 49ers. We need – it'd be nice to go out – you know, I – 2-3 even still bothers me if that's where we get to. But, hey, got to win one. Got to win one to get to.
You're exactly right. And with the Colts, I think they will handle their business as well. I'm with you. I know Baltimore's defense is good. They picked off Cleveland's passers four times in that game. Kizer had three of those picks. He has four on the season. This team doesn't score very many points. That should play up the Colts' alley. I think, again, you've got Vinatieri that can knock in some field goals. Get rid of the stupid penalties. Get a little bit sharper. Get the ball to your wide receivers. Get a little bit more time. And I think things will be better at the horseshoe. Not Andrew Luck better, but at least winning better this week. Win one in a row.
Right.
Go to Seattle and take your chances. Seattle struggled with San Francisco last week to beat them 12-6, 12-9.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Oh, it's 12-9.
They didn't score any points against Green Bay and Green Bay either. What does it mean? It means the Colts have to worry about themselves a little bit. They have to start doing things to get on the scoreboard, to get off the field on third down, not make silly penalties. All that, that's what good football teams do. Colts, show me you're a good football team, and I'll call you a good football team. It's not hard.
That's right.
It's not hard.
Hoosiers, 49-14.
Where are they getting 14 from? They're renting something? Bringing in a bus there? I like it, though.
They're going to break one against our number ones, and then they're going to break one against the number threes.
And they're going to take the break off and take the bus back
That's
to
right.
Georgia Southern. That's Terry. I'm Glass. We'll see you on Monday. Stay tuned for Reds Baseball next. You've been in the zone.